Morning by morning, God wakens, wakens my ear.
The Lord God has opened my ear. I did not turn backwards.
I gave my back to those who struck me,
and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard.
I did not hide my face from insults and spitting.
I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame.
As we journey deeper into Holy Week, we discover more about the impending death of Jesus on Good Friday. But we are given hope when Jesus says, "The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." At this point, you may wish to light your candle, remembering Jesus as the light of the world, whilst you listen to the reading from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36.
Some Greek people had come to worship at the religious gathering. They were among the others who'd come to worship. These Greek people came to Philip. He was from the city of Bethsaida in the country of Galilee. They said to him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus said to them, "The hour is near for the Son of Man to be taken to heaven to receive great honour. For sure I tell you, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will only be a seed. If it dies, it will give much grain. Anyone who loves his life will lose it. Anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it forever. If anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me. So where I am, the one who wants to serve me will be there also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honour him." Now my soul is troubled. Should I say, "Father, save me from this time of trouble and pain"? No, this is why I came to this time. "Father, honour your name." Then a voice from heaven came, saying, "I have already honoured my name. I will honour it again." The people heard the voice. Some who stood there said it was thunder. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, "The voice did not come for me, but it came to be a help for you. Now this world is being told it is guilty. Now the leader of this world will be thrown out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will attract all people toward me." He said this to tell the kind of death he was going to die. The people said to him, "The law of Moses says that the Christ is to live forever. Why do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light will be with you for a little while yet. Go on your way while you have the light, so that you will not be in the dark. When a man is walking in the dark, he does not know where he is going. While you have the light, put your trust in the light. Then you will be the sons of the light." Jesus said these things and then went away. He hid himself from them.
Along with, I suspect, many other people, I'm a big fan of murder mysteries. It's not that I'm contemplating using any of the ingenious or downright brutal methods of dispatching the victims, but what I enjoy is the way that the story is developed, with little clues given along the way. Now, John's Gospel is a bit like that. Unlike the three other Gospels, John does not set out to give a chronological account of Jesus' earthly ministry. Instead, he uses some of the key episodes of the ministry, John calls these signs, to demonstrate how Jesus is truly the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who came to bring redemption to the world. Along the way, there are many other signposts or clues as to what is happening. Today's reading from chapter 12 of John is in two distinct parts, although there is a common theme. In the first part, we're told that some Greeks, that is people whose first language was Greek, had come to Jerusalem for the Passover and wished to see Jesus. They may have been Jews living away from Palestine, or possibly Gentiles who were attracted by the Jewish faith. The apostles Philip and Andrew brought them to Jesus, but instead of asking them what they were searching for, he seems to go off at a tangent and talk about how seeds are put into the ground and apparently die before bringing forth an abundance of fruit, a reference to his approaching death at the hands of the religious leaders and the Roman occupying powers. But remember what Jesus said first, namely, "The hour has come for the Son of Man, that is himself, to be glorified." Another little clue. In earlier chapters, Jesus had said that his time had not yet come. Now he realizes that, with foreigners asking to see him, this is a sign, just like the appearance of the first leaves in spring, that the great climax of his ministry is at hand. And that provides the link to the second part of the reading, in which Jesus faces the reality of his forthcoming death. We might expect that Jesus would have been exhilarated to have reached this point and fully prepared for what was to come. But instead, Jesus says that his heart is troubled, which would be a very natural human reaction. He asks whether he should ask God the Father to save him, to spare him from death. And then in front of the crowd of onlookers, Jesus gives a clear answer. "No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And this was followed by a voice from heaven, sounding like thunder. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." God had already glorified Jesus through his extraordinary ministry, and he would do it again by his death and resurrection. But Jesus would not be the sort of Messiah the Jews are expecting, the one who would drive out the Romans by military force. Instead, Jesus was looking to the overthrow of old worldly kingdoms, characterized by oppression and injustice, and replace them with the kingdom of God, the hallmark of which was self-giving love. When Jesus spoke of being raised from the earth, he was speaking of his death on the cross, through which he would draw people to himself. Sensing the bewilderment of the disciples, Jesus spoke again about light and darkness, goodness and evil. The light would be with them for only a short time, and they must believe and walk in it. On our Christian journeys, that is also precisely what we must strive to do.
God of grace and glory, as we contemplate the works of your hand, how can we do no other than to praise you and worship your holy name? In the light of your greatness, even as we rest in the warmth of your love, we are minded of our struggles and of the times when the choices we have made have hurt you, hurt others, and hurt ourselves. We ask for courage as we walk this way to the cross, to stand firm when we experience or witness the measure of power. May we be unflagging in our pursuit of justice. May we grow a community of care and loving kindness. May we see again, in the example of your servant son, the life-giving way, the light-giving way, in all we think and do and say.